Revelation 5:12, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing."
Thank you, Team Moody. He said, one day we will sing that with a number of saints that cannot be counted to sing before Him of His worthiness. I look forward to that day, to be able to look upon Him and sing unto Him for the goodness He has shown us. Truly amazing. Okay, we are discipleship study now. We're going to move fast. Teens, you can go over to the youth room now. But we are in our discipleship study in here, following Jesus' call. And He did call us to be His church, to be disciples. And we are in the section, "Be ready to give a reason for your hope." Again, we get this from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." We should be able to talk to people of what we believe and why we believe it. It's not just blind faith. I hate blind faith. Jesus did not come so we could remain blind. He came and said, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, and anyone can if they will seek the Lord. A lot of people want to stay blind. A lot of people want to stay deaf to the truth. Then they feel like they're not accountable to it. And then they don't have to do what God commands us to do. It's not so. We are to be ready as disciples. We've been looking at all these questions over the last several weeks. We're in evolution. We started it last week. And this is so important because this is the theory of evolution has played a role in human history much greater than you think. And it is the reason that many people feel they have a security blanket. They have a comfort area where they don't have to believe in God. They don't have to worry about his accountability to him. They don't have to worry about a judgment because they put their belief, their faith in some natural process, mystical in nature, really, spiritual, as you'll see today, in a force that really produced them. And so if evolution is true, as you'll see today, there is no morality. There is no moral accountability. And if evolution is true, there is no God. Very important for us to understand this theory that is being taught to our kids. Now, we ask the question, did evolution really happen? And before we got to really start talking about it, I pointed out the racist aspects of this theory. And it was created by a racist. Charles Darwin is not a great scientist. He had no scientific degree whatsoever. He wasn't a great man. He was a racist. And evolution teaches that. Just type in Google, evolution of humanity, and you'll get images like this, where the less evolved have darker skin, the more evolved is lighter skin. What is that teaching? Next slide, Levi. What is that one teaching? It's racism, start to finish. I don't know why more people don't see this. If you go back to his original book, you can see it even clearer. Origin of Species, by means of natural selection. It's nature, this natural force that's selecting who will live and who will die. The weak will die off, the strong will live. This is the concept of this book, but the secondary title is very revealing. The preservation of favored races in the struggle of life. You see, everything is a struggle. Well, you know why the world has struggles? Because the world rejects God. If the world didn't reject God, we'd have a lot less struggling going on in our lives. But this is teaching that this is the way it's always been. And it's just been a struggle to survive. There's not enough resources for everyone to live. And so we got to struggle. And so you need to look at weaker ones or less evolved ones as lower life forms, which you can eliminate so that you can survive. Favored races, not politically correct, but that is the original title of Origin of Species, and that is the spirit behind the theory. So Charles Darwin, again, people praise him. People have little statues of him. I mean, people worship this guy like he was something else, and he wasn't. He didn't even really come up with the theory of evolution on his own. His father actually came up with a theory more than Charles Darwin did. And you can actually trace evolutionary concepts back to the Egyptians. The Egyptians taught a theory that life came from the Nile, the goo in the Nile. But he's accredited as the father of evolution. But this guy, he claimed to be a believer for a while until he read Charles Lyell's book, Principles of Geology, and it said it slowly eroded his faith. And this man right here, Charles Darwin, he was into the spiritualism of the late 1800s, got caught into the occult world, and practiced all sorts of things that are really not good. And his theory of evolution is a brutal theory. It's a brutal supposedly natural mechanism that champions suffering and death. That's what drives the evolution. That's what drives natural selection, death. The weak ones die, the strong ones live. Now, this theory of Darwin, of favored races, was justification for Hitler and the Holocaust. I've got about an 8-minute video I want you to watch. No, I didn't say start. I said watch. I've got to tell them what to listen for. Natural selection is the driving force of evolution. Nature selects who will live, who will die. Now, Hitler thought that humanity had evolved far enough that we could help the natural process of evolution, or we could help evolution make a better race. Now, listen to where you'll hear in the subtitles Hitler talking about our race, because it's the favored race. Where did he get this concept? It's Darwinian in nature. The Darwinian struggle, you'll hear that throughout the video. And it is Hitler using supposedly the truth of Darwinianism to justify the Holocaust. Now you can play.
American officers arrive at a Nazi institution seized by First Army troops. Under the guise of an insane asylum, this has been the headquarters for the systematic murder.
So what is this place?
During the Second World War, 15,000 people were killed here.
Why were they killed?
They were killed because they were people with handicaps.
Why kill them? What's the point of killing them?
People who were not able to work, people who were not able to live by themselves, that they were useless eaters.
Useless eaters.
And life unworthy of living.
This idea grew up in the 20s. So long before National Socialism, biologists, anthropologists, they thought that maybe mankind could, the government could interfere into the growth of the population.
I see.
And they had the utopia.
Utopia.
Utopia, that they would have a society without illness and without handicap.
Alles Lebensschwache geht in der Natur unfehlbar zugrunde. Wir Menschen haben gegen dieses Gesetz der natürlichen Auslese in den letzten Jahrzehnten furchtbar gesündigt. Wir haben unwertes Leben nicht nur erhalten, wir haben ihm auch Vermehrung gewährt. Die Nachkommen dieser Kranken sahen so aus, die tiefer stehen als jedes Tier.
So this was a Darwinian concept.
Yes.
And also a Malthusian concept, very much Malthusian.
Malthusian?
Thomas Malthus, who said that there was a shortage of resources. English philosopher, so there's a shortage.
Yes, but the Nazi, they relied on Darwin.
They relied on Darwin.
Yes, Darwin and German scientists.
Patients were led down this hallway to Nazi doctors who decided who would live and who would die.
They were accompanied by 15 nurses.
Nurses, yes.
Nurses, male and female nurses.
So nurses were helping lead them to their doom.
Yes.
So were the prisoners told they were taking a shower?
Yes, they were taking a shower, and here was one or two showers.
So how many people were brought into this room?
60 to 70.
So what is this?
This is the dissection table.
Do you ever think to yourself, the sane ones were the ones lying here having their brains removed? The insane one was Dr. Gorgas and all the other people.
No, I don't think that, because I think those people who killed here, they were very sane, because they had their purposes.
They had purposes.
Yes. I don't think they were insane. They had two crematory ovens.
I see.
And they killed about 70 people.
A day.
So a day, so they had...
That's barely enough.
And they only killed from Monday to Friday. So...
Because the people who were doing the killing needed to have the weekend off. If you met Dr. Gorgas today, what would you say to him?
I don't know. I don't think that it's my vote to tell him something.
It's difficult to describe how it felt to walk through such a haunting place, to know that these cold stone and tile walls were the last things the victims of Hadamar ever saw. I wanted to explore this connection further, so I met with the author of From Darwin to Hitler, Dr. Richard Weikart.
Hitler and many of the physicians that carried out this program were very fanatical Darwinists, and particularly wanted to apply Darwinism to society.
Was wir uns unter der deutschen Jugend der Zukunft wünschen, ist etwas anderes, als was die Vergangenheit sich gewünscht hat. Wir müssen einen neuen Menschen haben. Auch das unser Volk nicht an den typischen Degenerationserscheinungen dieser neuen Zeit runde geht.
Many of these people in the 19-teens, 1920s, who were putting forward some of these ideas about racism were considered the leading scientists. These were Darwinists who were taken seriously by fellow academics. It's not to say that all academics believed it.
These leading academics, were there any of them who were Americans?
There were plenty of Americans who were saying similar kinds of things.
Not only were Americans saying such things, they were pioneers in this fledgling science known as eugenics. They thought they could help evolution along by sterilizing the so-called feeble-minded and prohibiting them from getting married.
Physicians who are aware of the history of 20th century American medicine harbor some bad feelings towards Darwinists because of eugenics. And the eugenics, which was an attempt to breed human beings, it was the darkest chapter of American medicine ever. There were 50,000 people involuntarily sterilized because they were deemed unfit to breed, basically.
Eugenics isn't just history. The spirit of the movement lives on today.
Margaret Sanger was the head of Planned Parenthood. She was very fanatical in her promotion of eugenics. In fact, Planned Parenthood was all about birth control for the impoverished and lower classes to try to help improve the species.
From Hadamar, I traveled with Dr. Weikart to Dachau, where the Nazis applied the ideas of eugenics on a massive mechanistic scale. When it was a fully functioning concentration camp, and what was the purpose of it? I mean, part of it was to repress political enemies. What was the rest of the purpose?
Well, beyond the repression of the political enemies, which was its purpose at the very beginning, then later on it transformed into repressing racial enemies. And sometimes those categories overlapped, because sometimes they thought that these people were political enemies because they were inferior biologically. The war itself was part of the Darwinian struggle for existence for Hitler. And he saw the extermination of the Jews as one of those fronts to this warfare going on as this Darwinian struggle for existence.
Would you say that Hitler was insane?
No, I wouldn't say he was insane. I think he had imbibed some very, very wrong ideas. And in fact, I think he took the logic of them in certain ways that brought him to take very radical solutions for them.
Would you say he was evil?
Oh, I'd definitely say he was evil.
Is there such a thing as evil?
Oh, I think there is.
And is there such a thing as good?
Oh, definitely.
And evil can sometimes be rationalized as science.
Oh, sure. And evil can sometimes be rationalized. When it's rationalized as science, and I think when it's rationalized in this particular way in particular, I think Hitler thought he was doing good.
He thought he was doing good.
Oh, I think so. He thought he was benefiting. He thought he was benefiting humanity by driving evolution forward and creating a better humanity.
So Hitler thought he was doing good by driving forth evolution Eugenics. Man trying to direct the natural process of natural selection to create the best human race. But for Hitler, it was, of course, the Aryan race, and all other races were inferior. But do you understand where this concept, this theory of evolution and the struggle of favored races, when it gets the mind to think of others, other people or other things less than yourself. And death is a good thing. How many of you have heard the world is overpopulated and that we need to decrease population? Where do you think that concept comes from? And the earth is not overcrowded, not by a long shot. That is complete liberal propaganda and is based on evolutionary concepts, because you're going to see in a second, there are people who love death. Euthanasia, abortion. People always want to look down on others as less than themselves. To abortion today is, you can trace its roots all the way through Singer, who was loved eugenics and believed in Darwin. And she put her clinics, Planned Parenthood clinics, in neighborhoods and regions where there were non-whites. This attitude of getting rid of something you see less than yourself, killing it off, all comes back to the origin of species and the preservation of favored races. As the Bible says in Proverbs 8:36, all those who hate me love death. Not their own death, the death of others. But you hate God and you hate what He said, that man is created in His image, that man is unique in the creation. There's only one race, that's called the human race. You hate Him, you love death. You buy into the theory of evolution, which you will see in the study has no evidence whatsoever. We'll go through all their evidence. But it wasn't just Hitler. Stalin had the same principle. Do you know how many millions of men these two killed? How many millions of people? It all is laid at Darwin's feet. And it wasn't just these two that took the evolutionary concept so they could understand or look at other people and see them as less than yourself and you could slaughter them. The Japanese also believed in Darwinianism. And that Chinese and other people were less than them, and they wiped out millions. It's just not as taught today as much as the Holocaust or what Stalin did. Are we starting to see what a dangerous idea this is and how it's had a role in human history? The ramifications of Darwinism is huge. And the most deadly thing it does, besides killing people, it gets people not to believe in God. So looking again at Charles Darwin, here's what he is. He was actually trained as a theologian. He had a Bible degree. He went to Bible college. But he was a bad theologian. Couldn't get hired on any church. Good for them. So he became a naturalist. That's what a lot of people did back then. And he became known as the father of evolution. So when we say evolution, what do I mean by that word evolution? And most people, when asked, what do you mean, what does evolution mean? Well, it's a change of one kind of animal into the next. Monkeys and apes into humans, right? No, actually, that's only one definition of evolution. There are six kinds of evolution when you talk about this subject. First one is cosmic evolution. How did the universe come into existence? How did it, there was nothing there and then there's something. How did that happen? How did that nothing there evolve into something there? cosmic evolution. Then you have chemical evolution. How did the chemicals in the atmosphere, the elements we know, how did they come to be? How did all that chemistry happen? Stellar evolution. How did the stars form? And the stars are very necessary in our universe, as we have one called the sun that gives us life on this planet and heat and light. And stars are amazing. How did they form? How long has our star been burning? How much energy does that sun have? Have you ever thought about what it took to create, the power it took to create the sun that's been producing so much energy for so long? Stars are amazing, but we don't ever really think deep about them. But they're just mind-boggling when you start to study them. How did they happen? Then you have organic evolution, where you have a universe that's non-organic. It's just dead material, dirt and rocks and minerals and stuff. And then all of a sudden it went from a dead, inorganic universe to the organic. There's life. How did life happen? How did it evolve? Then you have macroevolution, which is one kind of animal changing into a different kind of animal over a long period of time. That's Darwin. Then you have microevolution, small changes within a kind. So there's a lot more to evolution than just changing from one kind of animal to the next. Now, it's interesting. Here's what the world's most famous atheist says about this process, this universe, this cosmic evolution. The universe we observe is precisely the properties we should expect if there is at the bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. That is a cold, scary reality. There's no evil, there's no good. If evolution is true, there is no morality. There is no right and there's no wrong. There's no purpose or meaning to your life. Though no design, no purpose. He goes on to say this in The Blind Watchmaker, his book, thesis. He says, the idea that all organisms have descended from common ancestors, macroevolution, solely through an unguided, unintelligent, purposeless material processes, completely natural, no God in the picture, such as natural selection acting on random variations of or mutations, that the mechanisms of natural selection, random variations and mutations, and perhaps other similar naturalistic mechanisms, no God, are completely sufficient to account for the appearance of design in living organisms. You see, everything in the world looks like it's been designed. When you really study biology, you study the animal kingdom, you study everything about the universe, it screams designer. Especially life. I'm going to show you how much design is in life form, even the simplest of life forms. Huge design. Great intelligence. But no, they want people to believe there is no God. Evolution can explain it. It makes it appear there's a design. Because when they talk about evolution, boy, they do. They give it qualities and attributes like it's almost godlike. And I'll show you why here in a second. The theory of evolution actually begins with cosmic evolution, the Big Bang. Nothing was there, nothing exploded for no reason and no cause and brought everything into existence. And evolution started from there. This natural, unguided, without any purpose, naturalistic process began to form the universe, and eventually life. formed those stars, stellar evolution. And today they teach that life came from the stars, the stardust of the universe. I played this video for you a couple weeks back, but I wanted to play it one more time, so go ahead and play.
For me, it is. When I learned that I am the same as the trees, as the grass, as the other animals in this biosphere held by Earth, I'm not separate and apart from them. I'm the same. I am uplifted because I am the same, not because I'm different. The atoms of your body are traceable to stars that manufactured them in the core, in the crucibles of the thermonuclear fusion inside the cores of stars. And these stars exploded, scattered these elements across the galaxy into the next generation gas clouds that then collapsed, formed star systems with ingredients that can now make planets, with planets that now have ingredients that can now make life. We are alive in this universe. And because our atoms are traceable to the universe itself, the universe is alive within us. You are special, not because you're different from the universe. You are special because you are the same as the universe. To me, that borders on spiritual. We are not figuratively, but literally stardust.
That's beautiful.
Really? Levi cleans in here. Can I find any dust, Levi? Maybe you didn't do this. Oh, yeah, I don't think. Well, you clean that too. Dust! That's all we are! Stardust! Do you know everything he said is 180 degrees opposite of this? Do you understand that, right? They do not want this to be true. And so they'll come up with a beautiful presentation. And he's great at explaining what he believes. They're great at laying it out and making it look really good and sound good, where some lady goes, that's just beautiful. But in reality, they don't have any evidence, which we will show. And it's all smoke and mirrors. Evolution is all smoke and mirrors. And we're just stardust. And you think, oh, these are just some crazies. This is not down, you know, hometown. We don't believe this stuff. Sharon Pierce, where are you? Oh, you were in your grandson's class a couple weeks back. What grade is he in? Which one is it? Wyatt, what grade is he in? Third grade, and you were helping out, substituting in there, or helping the teacher, right? And lo and behold, the teacher was talking about what subject? Then evolution. And did he mention stardust? Oh, what? Oh, well, you just blew my whole thing. Wendy told me you told her that they mentioned stardust. Well, you could have told me that before the sermon. You see, I do live with a difficult person. Wendy. Wendy exaggerated. Well, that was my whole point, that they were teaching it to our kids. But they are. Right. Okay. Well, that's okay. I thought it was a really great example. I should have probably cleared it with you before. But I have heard them teaching this. And if you actually listen to many of the movies and stuff coming out, especially Disney, you'll see how much evolution is taught in there. And how many of you are Star Trek fans? Oh, you guys are evil. Gene Roddenberry. Do you know he's the creator of Star Trek? He hated God. And he hated the Bible. And if you are Star Trek, evolution is all through Star Trek. Yeah, okay, he's a communist as well. But besides Sharon's grandson, this whole philosophy is being taught that we are just a product of the universe. Stardust. It just downplays what God says about us. God says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Complex. It's like the epitome of engineering. And I have an engineer right here. So you do better for me than Sharon did. Okay? Sharon was supposed to cover me there. Engineering-wise, how complex is the mind, the eye, the human body? Is it beyond engineering? I mean, it's just insane. Do you know you have over a million engineered connections in your eye? Think about that. The human mind is the most advanced computer ever. But they want to downplay human life and try to make it mystical. And did you hear? He said that this whole understanding that we're just stardust and connects us back to the universe is almost spiritual. You guys hear that? It's pantheism. They want to worship the universe and that the universe is God and we're God. And it's just this whole, to believe in anything but this. They'll believe in anything but this. Stardust, dead material, but it created life. What he's talking about? Dead material, the elements, the stars created, the atoms and all that. That's the elements. And those elements eventually created life. What he's talking about is chemistry, evolution. How chemistry, simple elements in the universe created life. Chemical evolution. Did I say chemistry evolution? Yeah, Sharon's throwing me whole off. Chemical evolution, not chemistry, but it is chemistry. That's why the chemistry chemicals. How many of you guys did good in chemistry? That was the first class I failed. I had to go to summer school because of that class. Chemical evolution. Chemicals just got together and created life. Dead material coming to life. Non-organic to the organic. That's where we'll pick up next week. How did life begin? It is so amazing when you look at life. We're going to look at chemical evolution. How life began according to them. And then we'll compare it to reality and to evidence. And because Darwin never covered this in his book. Darwin only covered how one animal kind became a different kind, or different species is the word they use. He never addressed how life became, how it started. But the video I have next is 10 minutes long, and we won't have time to get through it. So we'll end here for the day. We'll come back. And what's so important about next week in this, I'm going to show you exactly how they're teaching your children in school about life. And how wrong it is, what it teaches them to feel about themselves and how they should see other people. Because life is, according to them, it's just chemistry. It's just an accident. And compare how they downplay to your children. I have a children's thing here in my slides directed at kids to downplay life to downplay themselves as nothing. They are to see themselves really as nothing. And then we wonder why suicide rates are going up, why kids have no hope in this life, why kids are acting and being destructive and self-destructive. And it's really sad, because what they teach through evolution is not to appreciate the design of God and that you have a loving Creator that designed you with a purpose and meaning to life. You don't have a Heavenly Father who loves you. You're just an accident of the universe. It's really sad. Really, really sad. But I don't have time to go into it all today. So, team, come on up. We'll actually finish on time. And we'll have to go in and edit that video. Sharon just really threw me off my game. This whole time I've been waiting to get that because Wendy said, Sharon, I'm going to get Wendy. So, yeah. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so frustrating. So frustrating because so much of the world and the people who want to teach things that are so anti-you, anti-Bible, anti-truth, but they have the platform, they have the money, they have the sound system to get their message out and talk about stardust, and so many people listen to them and so many people believe them. And the truth is so much grander than stardust. There is a God greater than this universe. There is a Creator. There is a mastermind that knows all and is all powerful. Spiritual being beyond anything we can fathom, that had purpose and meaning for the universe and brought it into existence through the power of your voice. And that you created humanity in your image, unique in the whole creation. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made, designed with a purpose and a meaning that is greater and grander than ourselves. And Lord, most of the world has strayed away from that. They've been taught something completely opposite. And it's so hard and so frustrating at times to want to get people the truth that they can hear, that they're not an accident of the universe, that they have a Creator that loves them and designed them, and there is purpose and meaning to their lives. There is a value to their lives that stardust simply cannot give you. So, Lord, I ask you to help us as believers to understand how the world and what they teach is 100% opposite of what your word says. It's completely the opposite. And that we need to be salt and light out there. We need to be sharing the truth. We need to help people find it. We have to be able to talk to people. As quick as they are to talk about stardust and the universe, Lord, we should be talking about you and your love and your word and your creation. You should get the glory, not the stars, but the one who created the stars. So, Lord, I ask you to help us as a church to understand the dangers of this theory and how it's corrupted mankind for a long time, and it's still corrupting people. And for some, it's going to seal their fate in your judgment. So, Lord, I ask you to help us to continue to learn and be able to continue to talk to people and share the truth with them. I thank you for everyone that came out this morning. And, Lord, I ask you to help us go out this week and be salt and light. We pray this in your name. Amen. Oh, I just want to keep going on this subject. We have a story to tell. It's a grand story. A story of our lives. But it's not about us. It's about the one who came into our lives. The one who saved us. The one who picked us up and cleaned us off. The one who empowered us with his spirit and with his word. The one who has changed us forever. The one who has given us eternal hope. Our story is our story, but our story is about him. And that is Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And that's what this song is about. So why don't you guys stand up and we'll close with this song. We have a story to tell this week. Let's go out this week. And if there's an opportunity for us to share the story, let us share the story.
If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin. I would just as one serve, and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of you. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. And if I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. And if I told you my story, you would hear life overcome. Praising my Savior. all the day long.
Amen. 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 So, let's go out this week. We got a story to tell. Let's look for opportunities to share it. But if not, let us go out and show people love and Christ in us. Let us, the world teaches that life is not important, really, and we're just an accident. The Bible says, no, you're uniquely and wonderfully made, and you have value. Let's take life is getting pretty cheap out there in the world, isn't it? Let's go out there and show that life is not cheap. It's precious and good, and God has given it to us. All right, team, let's go out. Let's be salt and light. Let's go be His church. Count of three. Let's break out of here. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.